Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Beth Bielo, and you're listening to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today. One of the most commonly shared laments I hear from introverts is, I don't know how to talk about myself. We are often so focused on our business or work or creating magic behind the scenes that when someone says, tell me about yourself, we often clam up or stutter or aren't even sure where to begin. This goes for when we're asked to talk about ourselves, as well as when we have to write our bio for social media and networking profiles, web pages, and proposals. My guest today is Nancy Jutton, a storyteller, workshop leader, and author who shows business owners how to get seen, heard, celebrated, and compensated in their own backyards and beyond. Nancy created Bye Bye Boring Bio to help coaches, consultants, solopreneurs, speakers, infopreneurs, and aspiring and thriving authors attract clients, speaking gigs, and media attention now. Nancy's essential advice is this: it's your story, tell it well. Today, Nancy is going to share how being an introvert has influenced how she sees herself as an entrepreneur, as well as give us some really fabulous tips on what to say when we talk about ourselves. Nancy, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Beth. It's great to be here.
Thank you. To kick things off, you know, on your website, you have a fabulous website with lots of wonderful resources. And in keeping with Bye Bye Boring Bio, one of the things you include is six things about Nancy that might surprise you. And while it's not on your list, people would probably be very surprised to hear that you're an introvert. You know, those who have experienced you in person and your energy. You have a story to tell about a doll that you had as a young girl that's shaped how you see yourself now. And I'm wondering if you would mind sharing that story with us.
I'd be happy to. You know, when I show up in person, I do look confident and bold and tall and vibrant, and I show up that way. But what people don't know is that inside, I am thinking to myself, how well am I showing up? And can I really remember all the research I did about everyone I'm now meeting so that I can let them know that I am seeing, hearing, and celebrating them even before I show up in that room? I know there are a lot of introverts that do that, and I'm just here to tell you, I'm right there with you. When I was a little girl, I was shy, and I had this doll named Shrinking Violet, and she wore this purple dress and a crinoline skirt, and she had these black patent leather shoes and these long eyelashes, and when you pulled the little string in the back, she said, I'm Shrinking Violet, will you be my friend? And she was like my constant companion, because I was shy and she was shy, and we went everywhere together. And somewhere along the line, I thought to myself, I don't know that I like being so shy. I don't like fading into the wallpaper. Maybe there's something more for me. And so a friend of mine gave me this poem called The Ambitious Violet, and it told the story about how there was this ambitious violet close to the ground with all of her violet neighbors who wanted to be something more. And she revealed it to all her violet friends and said, I want to be tall and bold like a daffodil and see the bigger view. And all the daffodils would say to all the little violets would say to her, oh, you don't want to do that. The weather will get you. The elements will get you. The wildlife will get you. You better to stay low to the ground where it's safe. But this ambitious violet wasn't happy. And so she prayed to the nature gods, and they made her a bold, tall daffodil for a day. And then the elements did get her, and she fell to the ground with a smile on her lips. And what I love about that story is that she got her big moment to stand tall and bold. She wasn't going to be content close to the ground. She needed to find her voice, and she did. And really, that journey is the same journey that I've traveled, because I was no longer comfortable being the Wizard of Oz standing behind all of my important clients, being anonymous as they stepped into the spotlight to welcome all the success. I wanted to step out from behind the curtain and let people know that all the words that I was speaking through others were actually coming from my own imagination. So 4 or 5 years ago, I made the decision not just to be a publicist for other people, but to be known as an expert in my own field so that I could attract more of that abundance that I was seeking for myself. And here I am in 2010, and that's all happening because I've been stepping outside of that wallpaper mode, stepping into my own light and making a bigger difference for the clients that I serve. And so that's how my journey from shrinking violet to bold, tall daffodil unfolded over the last 40-something years. And it's so much better out here.
Yeah. You can catch more fresh air and sunshine when you're standing tall like that.
Well, and what do we gain by hanging out low to the ground or fading into the wallpaper? I think most people have businesses that are both their passion and their profession. And if you truly love this thing that you do and you're truly inspired to do it, you really have to step into it so people can see the light and be attracted to it, to engage to it. And that's really what the work I do with clients is all about today, to help people do exactly that.
I appreciate in your story the piece about how you said, okay, so I'm shy and I'm hanging out with shrinking violet, and at some point you said, you know, this isn't cutting it for me anymore. I'm bigger than this, or, you know, I want a little more sunshine. So it's really helping to clarify that stereotype about introverts, that introvert equals shy, and that's not necessarily the case. So I see you as breaking that mold and making a very intentional choice to say, I'm ready to stand tall and in my light.
Yes, I'm definitely ready to do that, and I think there's an awful lot of other people who are ready to do that too. And yet I also know that we all have to manage our energy because, I mean, would it surprise you to know, I mean, once a month I'll go out to a networking event where there's lots of people, and I will get myself all dressed and ready to go. I'll be looking fabulous. I will do my homework to find out who's going to be there. I'll create my plan of how I'm going to work the room so I can make a difference. And I think these things through, right? And while I'm there, I'm having the time of my life, and I'm lit up like a Christmas tree, and it's all wonderful. And then when I come home, I'm exhausted because there are some people who are totally filled up by this experience, and there are other people who get drained by this experience. But if you approach these events with the right mindset and you manage your energy properly, you can actually make a lot of magic happen and conserve your energy on the way back. It just takes a little bit of exercise to get in shape, and I think that's what I've been learning how to do these last few years.
Yeah, so I'm really glad you brought up that energy piece. How do you balance your energy? Because I see you out there and you do light up like a Christmas tree, and you do help other people light up. What are your exercises for that? Can you share?
Okay. This is True Confessions, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a lot of home and garden television, HGTV. I make Oprah every night, must-see television at 9 o'clock. I walk my dog, and I sleep a lot. I really sleep a lot. And those are my coping strategies,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that complicated.
Yeah, I'm with you on the sleep. I mean, do you take naps during the day when you have a chance?
I nap a lot. I nap a lot. I nap a lot more than a normal person would nap, I think. And hey, that's the way it is. I think that when your head is working overtime like mine is, it just takes an awful lot of energy. And so, you know, I was talking to my husband the other day, and I said, gosh, I really, really wish I could get into a more sustainable, even pace. And we've been married for 23 years, and he's known me since I was 21 years old. And he said, Nancy, I've known you your whole adult life. This is who you are. You either, you know, lean into it or forget about it. You know, you're not going to change your spots. This is the way you are, so you just got to learn how to manage. And I think a lot of us have to do that.
Yeah, what a wonderful reflection he offered to you, and such acceptance. So as I mentioned in the introduction to this podcast, one of the things that stumps introverts, and I'm guessing extroverts, some of them as well, is how to talk about ourselves. And in business, our biggest opportunity, or the opportunity we have the most control over, comes through our bios, you know, our biographies that appear online and in print. What have you seen as the most common mistakes that entrepreneurs make in their bios?
Well, here's one that happens a fair amount. I would invite everyone who's listening to Google their name and their company name and the keywords that they want to be known for and see what comes back. Because one of the things that introverts do sometimes is they want everything to be perfect before they declare what they're doing.
No.
Does that ever happen? Do you do that?
No, never. That never happens to me.
People really want that. And so sometimes before they get it all figured out, they'll actually declare on their website, I'm in a process of reinvention intervention, and as soon as my website's perfect, I'll give you all the details. This is a big mistake, mm-hmm. and I'll tell you why. People who are going to invest money in something of value want to know when they find you immediately that you are exactly the solution to the problem that's giving them the greatest discomfort. If the first thing they see is, I don't know what I want, but I'll know it when I get there, they're going to run in the opposite direction. So my advice to people who aren't quite certain about what they're trying to do is forget perfect and make a declaration of what you do, who you serve, the value it brings, and why it matters now more than ever. Because if you want to be a painkiller to somebody's discomfort, they need you to be able to get to yes quickly. And if you're not quite sure of yourself, they're going to run in the opposite direction. That is a big mistake people are making.
And you see them making this in their bios.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what I'm, you know, I do all kinds of things and I can't wait to do them for you. Or I serve everybody and everybody's my client. The more broadly you describe your target audience, the fewer clients you tend to have. So I always advise people to actually get to the meat of the matter of who they really serve, which is what I think you have done so brilliantly. The introvert entrepreneur. How amazingly brilliant is that, that people who know that that's who they are can land there and know that they've found a home where they can build community and connect and not apologize for the fact that they may not be loud and proud like so many of the other people that they would never describe themselves to be.
Right. Amen.
Dating coaches, you know, do you work with, I was talking to a lady the other day who is a personal fitness trainer, and I said, well, who's your ideal client? She says, my ideal client is someone who's 50 and over, who lives on Mercer Island, who makes a lot of money and wants to get in better shape. And I thought, well, okay, you're very clear about who you want to work with. You don't want to get people 20-somethings into bikinis. You want to get 50-somethings off the couch. And I thought, well, why don't we say this in a cooler way that's less about you and more about the win for your client? So I just happened to know that she was very active in the Jewish community. I just happened to know that she had a PhD. I just happened to know that she wants people to get more actively engaged in their lives. And so instead of saying I'm looking for 50-somethings who live in Mercer Island, who are rich, who want to get in better shape, which really falls flat, mm-hmm. I said, what if we say something like this? Some clients call me a Jewish mother with a PhD. Some call me a fitness maven on a mission to get 50-somethings off the couch and back into life. No matter how you describe me, I can't wait to help you look forward to taking the stairs knowing that the second half of your life is going to be better than the first half.
I'd respond to that.
I said that to her right out of the box. She said, how did you do that? I said, I know you, I get you, and the most important thing is we've described you in such a way that your ideal client knows immediately that you're the one that they want. And I think that if we could just be more authentic and have a little bit more fun in a non-boilerplate sort of way that have people smiling and leaning in and wanting to take another card. And that's what I want for everyone.
What's maybe one more mistake that you see fairly often?
A big mistake is assuming that all one size bio fits all situations. This is a big mistake. If you do shopping, if you go to the one size fits all counter, it's usually a sign that you're frumpy, lumpy, and dumpy, and you want to stand bold and proud. So what I would say to people is if you are trying to attract clients, create a client-attracting bio. If you want to be known as a professional speaker, you need a different kind of speaker sheet that says the key thing you talk about, the audience takeaways that they're going to love learning, and how they can engage with you. If you're on Twitter, you have 160 characters to get people to wow right now. You don't want to waste a single minute of them. So, like, let me give you an example from someone who was just named to the top 100 women on Twitter. Melanie Benson Strick, she says this, fast-paced visionary leader, kick-butt biz mentor for entrepreneurs, new dog mommy trying to save her shoes, craves Starbucks, exotic travel, and spas.
That's great.
Isn't that fantastic? Guess how many people are following her as of yesterday?
Oh, I'm guessing thousands, but how many?
20,000.
Wow,
and
tens
now,
of thousands.
Because she was named to the top 100 women business bloggers in America today, and I would expect the number of people following her on Twitter to double tomorrow. So if you've got 160 characters on Twitter, you can't use your manifesto bio from your website and have it work for you there. So the big mistake is don't assume that one bio suits all situations. Consider what you want to have happen. Do you want more followers? Do you want to invite speaking engagements? Do you want to invite media interviews? If you're going to be on the radio, you get two sentences to introduce yourself, and that's all you get. What two sentences are going to set the stage for you to rock the house before you speak your first word? I would invite all of us really well-prepared, well-researched introverts to do our homework to get all this stuff right so that we can roll with the opportunities as they happen and always feel confident with every step we take.
That resonates with me because I know I've been in these different situations where I've had to come up with different length bios, and I'm scrambling. I don't have them just ready.
This is what I want you to fix right this minute, because you know what, Beth? You're going to become a rock star as the introvert entrepreneur leader, and when CNN comes to call, the most wonderful thing for you to be able to do is say, yes, I'd be delighted to do the interview. Here's a link where you can access all of my bios of varying lengths, and here are the 5 questions I most like to be asked when I'm interviewed. I can't wait to add value to your program.
Brilliant.
When you get your dress on, you're all ready to go. Not only are you a better guest, but you save yourself the scrambling, the aggravation, the worry, the wonder, because you're already dressed to go to the ball. Get dressed to go to the ball if you've got big intentions to make a bigger splash. And if you do that, you're going to be ready to roll and rock the house, not just in your own backyard on a podcast or whatever the case may be, but when CNN comes to call, you'll deliver the goods. And what then could happen for the introvert entrepreneur community that's growing every day?
Yeah, I love that. And you've actually, I think, just answered my next question, which was, you know, I wanted to ask you about, we're kind of assuming that a bio is important. So, you know, what is the benefit of spending the time and energy on creating a really top-notch, not just one bio, but family of bios so that you can respond to any situation?
That is the benefit. And, you know, I'll give you an example from my own experience. Well, this was sort of an anecdote that happened. Brian Tracy's written about 42 books on human potential and success, and he's very impressive in so many ways, and I had the good fortune to hear him speak when he came to Mercer Island about a year ago. What really struck me is that he had this prepared bio that the MC read before he took the stage, and it was so compelling that when the MC was done introducing him, all 300 people in the room jumped to their feet and gave him a standing ovation before he spoke his first word. What I love about that is that Brian Tracy wasn't leaving it to chance that that MC was going to wing it and introduce him any old way that he wanted to. He was taking control of the situation, offering that bio to the MC in 14-point type so he could read it with or without his glasses, and that he would be controlling the situation so that the stage would be set for him to rock the house, which of course he did. So I thought to myself, not all of us are Brian Tracy. We're at some level of success leading up to what he is aspiring for all of us. How can we be the very best we can be and influence the situation so when you're introduced on that radio show, the host introduces you in a way that sets the stage for you to say exactly what you wanted to say, including the correct pronunciation of your name, especially if you've got one of these names like yours or mine that sometimes people don't get quite right. Mm-hmm. So I always say Jutton rhymes with button, on my introductions because it helps the person know, oh, at least I'm not going to mess up their name. Because the biggest thing, the most important thing, the most beautiful music for anyone to hear is the correct pronunciation of their own name. And to hear, see, and celebrate someone properly by saying their name properly, it just gets things rolling in a winning direction, and that's what I would wish for everybody. It's not just all of us wanting to be rock stars, it's all of us wanting to set the stage so that we can have a bigger influence over a much wider community of fans and followers, and that means being prepared, and introverts are really good at being prepared.
Yes, we are researchers and preparers, and so this is right up our alley.
Well, we can be rock stars faster than anyone else.
Exactly.
The ones that are loud and proud, the ones that are loud and proud tend to sort of wing it all the time and roll on their personalities, which may work pretty well for a lot of people. But for the rest of us, preparation is good.
Yeah, I think of sustainability. You know, it helps me to be sustainable. And, you know, Nancy, as you've been talking, you've sprinkled some of some tips in here and there. But as we close out this interview, I wonder if there are some really simple things that people can do to say bye-bye boring bio and get to work right now on creating a more compelling and engaging bio.
Well, these are the four things I want people to think about as they're listening to us right now. The four cornerstones of a really great bio are four S's. The first one is the stunning results that you bring about for your ideal client. The stunning results you bring about for your ideal client. The second one would be a succinct story that makes clear this path that you're on is a journey you do for more than the money. The third thing would be a sassy soundbite that lets people know that you've got personality, passion, and you're somebody that they can't wait to do business with. I'm going to share with you very briefly a sassy soundbite from my husband's bio. He's a financial planner, and he helps people guide themselves to a more successful retirement. And who hasn't heard about people that do that? I mean, they all sound the same after a while. But you know what he's done? With one line of text, he has made it so inviting for people to call him. This is what it says at the top of his bio. This is his sassy soundbite. People hire me for my head, pay me for my heart, and trust me most when I use both.
That's beautiful, if I may say.
Isn't that beautiful?
That's really nice.
This is the thing. I'm all about helping people to get seen, heard, celebrated, and compensated. Here's a guy that has a very simple website. It's maybe 3 pages in length. People land on the website, they read what he does, the next thing they do is they land on his bio, and they want to know, who the heck is this guy? With the first line of text, people say, wow, that's beautiful. I like this guy already. He has been at Hello. They read the rest of it, and then they pick up the phone. 3 times a week, minimum, someone says, I landed on your website, I read your bio, and I knew you were the one for me. How do you work, and when can we get started? How much better would life be for all the introvert entrepreneurs out there if they had that kind of thing happening in their life every day? So do not underestimate the value of a sassy soundbite to really demonstrate the heart you're putting into this passion that is your profession. It will be a magnet, like a halo, that will send a glow to the marketplace and bring more people your way. And the final S is what I call social information to help your ideal client know that you're the one that they want, that you're the one that they can like, trust, and respect, that you're the one they want to break bread with and do business with. And as I read Melanie Benson Strick's Twitter profile a few moments ago where she said she was a kick-butt visionary leader, business mentor for entrepreneurs, a new dog mommy trying to save her shoes, you know right out of the box, either you like her or you don't, and either way it's good. But if you do like her, you're leaning in and you're going to take another card. And so when you share social information about yourself, make sure the information you share is relevant to this bigger mission that you're on and that you don't share anything compromising or that's misaligned with this bigger mission that you're on. Because by using those four S's, the stunning results, the sassy sound bites, the succinct stories, and that social information to get people to that like, trust, and respect place fast, it's like hitting a home run with a few well-chosen words, and maybe you'll be like that personal fitness trainer that used to have that blah, blah, blah boring example who's now this fitness maven on a mission to get 50-somethings off the couch and smiling as they take the stairs, knowing that the second half of life is the best part of life. So much more delicious and yummy. And if we could all be delicious and yummy, people would just be piercing their forks into the meat and taking another bite. And isn't that what we want?
Absolutely. That's great, Nancy. So stunning results, succinct story, sassy soundbite, and social information.
Yes. Get people to that like, trust, and respect place fast.
Yeah.
You just don't want to tell them strange things that have nothing to do with what you're trying to do in your business. You want them to be relevant. And then the other thing I would say to people is I blog regularly at my website at mainstreetmediasavvy.com about these topics and many, many more. And I would be honored for your listeners to come there and opt in to benefit from not only my RSS feed so they never miss a single post, but that they would sign up for my newsletter so that they can hear about all the other cool things I have brewing to help all of us stand out and shine in the marketplace with well-chosen words so they can get more of what they want.
Yeah. One of the things I admire about you, Nancy, is your generosity with information and how much you really have invested in helping people succeed. And it's been a wonderful thing for me to be acquainted with over these past couple of years and to witness.
Well, thank you. You know, I think we've all read the same success books and trying to remember which expert or success expert that said that when you help other people get more of what they want, you get more of what you want. And it's true.
Absolutely.
I think that what my gift is, I mean, I think that I'm supposed to be a mirror to reflect the brilliance that others can't seem to find or articulate for themselves. I listen to people very carefully. I have created systems and programs and workshops to help people get the help they need in an intimate setting so that they can feel like they're not going to get lost in a crowd of thousands. I really help people walk a little taller. When they come to me, they may be shrinking violets. By the time they're done, they're tall, bold daffodils. And I feel like that's the difference that I get to make in this work that I do. And right now, with double-digit unemployment in so many places around the country and so many people competing fiercely to get client engagements, if I can help people get to yes a little bit faster, then I'm going to be making I'm like a pebble in a pond that's going to be making a whole bigger difference. And that's what kind of drives me to do this work.
You are very driven, and you are, from my perspective, seeming very successful. And what I'm curious about is when you do have that downtime, I ask all of my guests about, you know, you're on that road to success and everything is going great and you need a break. And so you are granted a year's vacation on Introvert Island and all your expenses are paid. And you only have room for 3 books in your suitcase. What would you take with you and why?
There are 3 books I would take. I would take the autobiography of Oprah because she is the woman on earth that I admire the most of any. And I would like to know even more about her. And she's someone who never felt heard as a child, who has dedicated her entire life to helping other people get that recognition. And I would just like to know everything there is to know about Oprah. The other book I would take would be Elizabeth Edwards' autobiography called Resilience, because I think she is the second most admired woman that I've got awareness of, and what she has done to overcome untold odds to remain positive in the face of dramatic tragedy is really sobering and helps put into perspective whatever trials and tribulations we all might be facing are pretty minor in comparison, and if she can be as graceful under the circumstances that she faces, then maybe I ought to give myself a break and have a little grace myself. And then the third book I would take would be, it's called Living Out Loud, and I'm trying to remember the author, Anne. She was a columnist for Newsweek, but she basically wrote a book about what it was to be a wife and a mother and to raise a family and to manage a career. And she wrote in such poignant stories that really helped me realize that it's not just working for a living that I'm trying to do, but I'm trying to have a complete life and leave a legacy for my child and to do something great in my marriage. And I want to be like that.
Mm. And I think it was it Anna Quinlan?
Yes.
That's it.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I love all three of those women. Mm. They all really inspired me. And those are the three books that I would take because I would be resilient in the face of whatever would face me. I would be inspired by two amazing women whose stories are still unfolding, and I would be feeling good about whatever I could imagine while I had plenty of time to rest.
Yeah. Lots of naps. Freaking naps. Sounds like heaven. So, Nancy, how can people learn more about you and your products and services?
I would love for people to visit byeboringbio.com, byeboringbio.com. There you can read about my flagship product, you can sign up for my newsletter, and you can even watch a 3-minute video that showcases my journey from shrinking violet to bold, tall daffodil and see how well that plays from your perspective. It's byeboringbio.com. I'd love to have you join me there and join the community. And you can also go to my Extreme Bio Makeover Salon page on Facebook, and you can find that at bit.ly/Extreme Bio Makeover Salon. Join the conversation.
Excellent. Yeah. And are you on Twitter?
Oh, absolutely. Twitter.com/Nancy Dutton. Would love to have you join me there.
Excellent. Excellent.
And I hope one day to have as many followers as Melanie Benson Strick, but I think I've got to sass up my story so I can get there faster. They're always a work in progress, you know?
Yes, we are.
And I just say to people, Rome wasn't built in a day. It happened brick by brick, and the castle is in progress. And when we get there, we'll know it. In the meantime, we're going to have a lot of fun, and I'm going to try to help people tell their stories so the right people will listen. This is my gift to give to the world. I want the world to come be to pass to my door so I can do even more of it. And can't wait to get started.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Nancy. Your enthusiasm and expertise are just wonderful to experience. So thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Well, thank you, and thanks for having me on the show. Remember, it's your story. Tell it well.
This is Beth Below, the Introvert Entrepreneur. Special thanks to Nancy Jutton for joining us today, and thank you for spending this time with me. Join me each week for insights, information, and inspiration for introverts who know that success is an inside job. If you'd like to learn more, please visit theintrovertentrepreneur.com. You can also find me on Facebook at facebook.com/theintrovertentrepreneur. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.